Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges, again, host of The Common Sense Show. Welcome to hour number three, and we remain the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much to John Cruz for his courageous work and his willingness to come on the show and tell his story, and also to my good friend Ronnie McMullen. Well, this hour we're going to do something a little different, and this is by request. This is listener request. People said, Dave, we want to hear more of what you think. So I pre-recorded some segments, and I think they're pretty heart-rending, and I think you're going to enjoy them. And in the last 7 minutes, I play a recording interview I did with Paul Martin that got cut off for obvious reasons. When you listen to that interview in the last 7 minutes of this hour, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway, enjoy. And I just want to tell everybody I appreciate you being here. And we are going to see you back here again next week. And give me some feedback at my email, Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show, and tell me whether or not you like this segment or not. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time. This is going to be a very entertaining and interesting broadcast, if I say so myself. It's going to reveal a game plan that the globalists typically employ when they want to have their way with whether it's faking a crime, a hate crime, or furthering their Agenda 21, but they do the same thing over and over again. When they get somebody who's in the hot seat, they bring in their own person, their hitman, their judicial hitman, if they will, to make things right for the globalists. They did it with Stacey Lynn in 2012, and they're doing it again with Jussie Smollett in 2019. Hi, everybody. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We are brought to you by Health Masters. You've heard me talk about how I had the partially torn meniscus. I started taking the joint protocol. Ted told me, just give it a few weeks, Dave. You're not going to need surgery. And he was right. And then I had a similar occurrence with a ruptured disc in my back. Same exact thing. I'm a walking, talking testament to what Health Masters can do. I go to Health Masters before I go to my doctor. You should too. Go to healthmasters.com for all your healthcare needs and use the coupon code DH5 to take 5% off. That's healthmasters.com. I'm going to tell you a stunning, stunning story from 2012. Those of you who followed me now for the last 7 or 8 years, you'll be familiar with Stacey Lynn. A lot of you will not be. Stacey Lynn lives in Fort Collins, Colorado, in one of the most corrupt counties in the country, Larimer County. I lovingly refer to them as the People's Republic of Larimer County. Well, Stacey Lynn was someone who was just, shall we say, tired of the Agenda 21 invasion into her city. She raised opposition against banning all parking, public parking in downtown Fort Collins, which would have killed the local businesses. She got in the way of waste manager's attempt to take over all trash disposal in Fort Collins and eliminate all competition with inside sweetheart deals with the city council and the county commissioners. She was effective. She was good at what she did. I know Stacey Lynn well. She's bright. She's pretty. And I'll tell you, she's a bulldog. And she is really, really a great activist. She was too effective. She had a son named Jaden. Jaden was raised by Stacey on her own for 8 years. The father never contributed, according to Stacey, one dime to the child's upbringing. Until one day, he decided that it was time that he got his son back. And he took her to court, and he successfully won. Stacey was never charged with a crime. She was never investigated by CPS. There was no hint that this could ever happen. And see, the judge didn't order joint custody or visitation rights for the father. She just simply took the kid away from Stacy without cause. Now, that caused us to look at the judge. And bear with me on this case because it ties right in, directly into the strategy being used to release Jussie Smollett. So Stacy had a situation where she loses her child without cause. I got a phone call from an activist in Fort Collins and said, "Dave, can you help Stacy?" And I said, "I don't do child custody." And it was out of my ignorance I made that statement because I didn't understand the full ramifications. I didn't know she was an Agenda 21 activist, so forth and so on. After the facts were sent to me and I examined them in detail, I decided I need to jump into this with both feet. The judge that took away Stacy's child was named Julie Kuntz Field. My, oh my, oh my, what a wicked weave, web we weave when we seek to deceive. Wow, this was incredible as I trace this. The chief Agenda 21 activist in Larimer County, and the whole county, in fact, really the whole state bows down to her, is a lady named Pat Stryker. And Pat Stryker is someone who basically is George Soros' buddy. She mentored under him. She went to Obama's inaugural ball. Do you remember Solyndria? Yeah, that $400 million boondoggle. Well, that was Pat Stryker's baby. Pat Stryker is an Agenda 21 gal. Fort Collins University, they're the CSU, Colorado State University, they bend over for her. They give her award after award after award for her Agenda 21 activism. Well, going back into the 80s, Pat Stryker had a company called Stryker Biotech. And they are represented by a firm where Julie Kuntz Field, the judge in Stacey Lim's case, was working. They formed an association. They had a relationship. Okay, keep that in mind. That's a long-term relationship. Julie Kuntz Field went on to work for the IMF and the World Bank. She was a lawyer for the New World Order. There is absolutely no question about it. IMF, World Bank, do I need to say more? Well, the governor of Colorado, outgoing governor at the time, named Bill Ritter, he was on his way out, and he too was an Agenda 21 guy and a Stryker advocate, and he appointed Julie Kuntz Field to the Eighth Circuit Court in Fort Collins. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back here. She does malpractice. She's working for the globalists and the IMF and the World Bank. And now she's going to do something as trivial from a legal standpoint as child custody. Yes, she was brought in. And on her judicial application, and I have documented this on the website, thecommonsenseshow.com, she actually first listed her address, which was a Stryker subsidiary-owned company address. On College Avenue, 123 College Avenue. I have that document. And here is Field residing over her first child custody case. She was brought in as the judicial hitman. And hit she did. She took young Jaden away from Stacy, awarded the boy to the father, and the visitation rights were so heinous, where Stacy literally, if memory serves me correctly, had to pay virtually about $700 per visit because she wasn't capable of seeing the kid on her own. She had to have supervised visits because she was dangerous. This is how they struck back at Stacy for her Agenda 21 activism. By the way, what happened to Bill Ritter? Well, Bill Ritter was appointed to a position at CSU, and they were all involved in this. And he made $300,000 a year when he left the governorship. And oh, by the way, Julie Kuntz Field's husband was part of the package deal too. He came in and he was made a professor and big Agenda 21 advocate at Colorado State University. One big, happy, corrupt New World Order family. So I've established a pattern here of behavior. Let's go forward to what just happened with Jussie Smollett. Now, this is interesting, too. By the way, before I go to the second case, which shows the similar parallel, I wanted to mention here, I got some morbid pleasure out of the fact that when these proceedings were going on and I was interviewing Stacy quite often on the Common Sense Show, I will tell you that the judge came unglued at the Common Sense Show. She was so upset, repeatedly berated me, berated my show, and so did the father of Jaden. Berated my show. In fact, actually, he's threatened to sue me. I've offered to let him come on the show, and I told him I'd give him uninterrupted time to present his point of view, and of course he refused, and I've dared him to sue me. I'd love for him to sue me. First of all, I haven't ever said anything that was untrue, but secondly, it would allow me and my lawyers to do discovery, and they don't want that. I'm telling you right now, from Colorado State University to Julie Fields' husband and Julie Fields herself and Pat Stryker and the waste management case, they don't want me bringing out evidence from discovery. Trust me, they do not want this out there. Now, I can't say that these people are directly involved in child sex trafficking, but I will tell you this. The Larimer County sheriffs have been. I don't know if they still are, but that's what the locals all say, and I'm convinced when you hear it this many times, it's got to be true. And I know of specific cases, people like Russ Harvey and other people in Larimer County have made this very, very clear that they are in a cesspool of corruption, hence the name the People's Republic of Larimer County. Now, before I leave this particular part and start connecting dots to other cases, I need to say that Stacy hasn't seen her son in years. Now, I'm going to try to do the math here. 2012, it's now 2019. Jaden's a teenager. He's in high school. He and his mother were very close. I know people that know them, knew them well. In fact, many of the people, like Virginia Farver, I've had her on my show a lot. She's friends with Stacy. She, too, is from Fort Collins. And it was an absolute travesty. And to cover all this up and to get people to testify and be on the right side against Stacy, tax liens disappeared. I can't tell you how bad it was, how much corruption I found. But let me give you how this ends. It's with Stacy Lynn for the time being, just in the moment. Immediately after the court proceedings, Stacy went across to a quick print and tried to copy legal documents. She was going to launch an appeal. By the way, Judge Fields in her decision said that Stacy was a sovereign citizen. Now, Stacy had never used that term. I was unfamiliar with that term in 2012. Later, it became kind of a doublespeak for, oh, you're a patriot. You're a Christian. You're a conservative. Remember the MEAC report where it labeled all of us conservatives as basically being enemies of the state? Well, that's what Field was referring to in her judicial ruling. And while Stacy was copying the material for her appeal, she was arrested for not surrendering her son soon enough. I mean, we're talking less than a half hour after the ruling. Absolutely insane. So I started to look at the Larimer County Police, and let me tell you one of the things we found. It was sometime after the ruling, and Stacy was driving her SUV, and someone had noticed a device on the SUV underneath. And, of course, everyone thought, it's a bomb. They were freaked out. Well, they were in Weld County, which is near Greeley, Colorado. Greeley, Colorado is in Weld County. And they called the Weld County Sheriff. And he came out. Good guy. Wife's a talk show host. And she's kind of on the right side of the fence compared to the rest of us patriots. And he found a tracking device. Are you kidding me? A tracking device placed there without a warrant, with nothing to substantiate its use. And he took the serial numbers and he traced it back to the Larimer County Sheriffs. So people say, David, how do you know about the den of corruption there? Well, we don't have to go any further than this. Nothing ever happened to these people. The sheriff who actually, the deputy who actually put the tracking device on, and we were actually to link it to We Know Who Did It, he got a walk. Nothing happened to him. This is the kind of lawlessness that you see with these people. Later on, as Stacy wouldn't shut up, she was in a near-fatal car accident. And you can draw the same conclusion, I'm sure, that I drew. I didn't see that as any random accident. So that's the Stacy Lynn case. Now, how does that bear on common current events? There was a second case that was brought to my attention, and I have to tell you, folks, I lost sleep over the massive political pressure I was able to bring to bear in Fort Collins. I had these people unhinged. I used to go on a radio station in Johnstown, Colorado, which is in the range of Fort Collins. People could hear me clearly as they were driving in their cars. But I still never got Jaden back. And it's one of the great failures that I've experienced is my role in the Common Sense Show. Then there was a lady who came to me. Her father was a listener to our show. And her name was Monica Wasilowski. And those of you who were following me around the 2014, 2015, 2016 time frame will remember this case. Monica worked in the State Department, and she was a conservative NRA member. You get the idea. She didn't fit the profile of a deep swamper, deep stater. And she had a son, a four-year-old boy. One night, the CPS for Virginia showed up, and they're the most corrupt organization I've ever seen. And they showed up, and they took her son. They accused her of abuse with no proof. No proof whatsoever. And if really she was guilty of abuse, you think police would have come and filed charges? Well, they didn't. And they moved him around from family to family, foster families. One of them was a family of two male homosexuals. And there was pretty clear evidence. I was satisfied from what Monica and others showed me that there was sexual abuse going on. We exposed it on the CommonSenseShow.com. Oh, the authorities in Virginia went absolutely apeshit. I was threatened by a district attorney in a particular county. I got support from a congressman to keep going forward. It was an absolute mess. And we saw our way through. We did a GoFundMe account. And we helped Monica get two attorneys. And they kicked butt. They got the kid back. It was a really difficult effort, but, you know, we really put our noses to the grindstone. And I think all the mistakes I made in Stacy's case, I learned from my experiences, and we were able to help Monica. Now, Monica is a dear, dear friend today, and she no longer has her son. I had advised her, and, you know, like I said, Monica, you got to leave Virginia. They're going to come back after you. And she didn't, and she paid the price. Enter into, now this was current events in Jesse Smollett. It gets really, really, really interesting. Do you recall when the Smollett case broke, and I was telling people, you need to pay attention to the lawyers for Jesse Smollett? Remember that? Exactly. And we're going to talk about that and the relationship to Jesse Smollett and to Monica. And you are absolutely not going to believe your ears. Oh, when Monica lost her child, it was a rigged court situation when they went back in. And it was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It was over quickly. Monica did not get to testify properly. Her rights were violated. And opposing her and seeking custody, and this goes right back to Fort Collins, was a man named Jorge Rodriguez that was Monica's ex, and she paints a picture of him that is not flattering. He's an attorney, was in trouble lots and lots of times during this whole custody battle involving their son, and he is from Peru, and his father is an accountant, and I have to tell you, I have my suspicions about the associations, and if you know my work with regard to what goes on in Peru, you know exactly what my suspicions are. Now, I'm bound by a confidentiality agreement. I can't go any further in the revelation there at this time. But I can tell you it's already publicly available, and it's going to get your attention because it is so much like what happened in Fort Collins. The judge that was brought in to take Monica's child was a globalist judge. Same kind of background as Julie Koontz Fields. Same kind of just heinous view of America. Hates America. His rulings are all the same. So anyway, Monica loses her son to Jorge, but accompanying Jorge Rodriguez in court, and a woman who was allowed to give testimony in a case that she had absolutely no business being in whatsoever, was a woman by the name of Gloria. Now, I don't really know what Gloria's last name is. Here is why, but you may have seen her recently in the Smollett case. She was the attorney of record for the Nigerian brothers who faked the hate crime attack on Jussie Smollett. She's on Fox News, and I'm going to include a picture here in this broadcast of this, where she's giving an interview to Fox News claiming their innocence. Well, Gloria, she goes by these names, and I've pulled up the Law Review. Gloria Virginia Mendoza, I believe that's her maiden name. Her legally licensed name under the bar is Gloria Virginia Mendoza Schmidt. She went on Fox as Gloria Schmidt, but she's married to Jorge Rodriguez now, and Gloria was going by the name of Gloria V. Rodriguez. She's also going by the name here, as I pulled up the search on her names, of Gloria V. Schmidt. This is the public record. If she doesn't like it, she needs to get in and change this record. Then she's also listed as Gloria Rodriguez. I'm confused. I would say it's Gloria Rodriguez is the real name, because that's her married name. Why is she still going by the name? Why is she going by the name Hastings? There's something there, folks, and I'm going to get it. And when I get it, I'm going to publish it. But I'm telling you, I know some of the rules of thumb about how lawyers have to list their names and so forth. And I've talked to some attorneys on this case, and they were scratching their heads too when I showed them this documentation. So I'm not sure who the hell she is, but she has a very checkered background. Coincidentally, she's from Fort Collins. She also liked to work in places, let's call them gentlemen's clubs, shall we? And that's according to Monica's account. Her and Jorge are now a couple. They're an item. They work together. They're attorneys. And they represent the Nigerians. Isn't that interesting? So we see a little bit of a link here, and this is the second time I've crossed paths with this kind of judicial interference in parental custody for someone who doesn't have the right views. In Monica's case, it was being a conservative in a ultra-liberal, pro-Obama environment. In fact, Monica almost lost her job. She was brought up on the Hatch Act violations, because after Trump was elected, she put his picture in her cubicle. And by the way, according to Monica, the workers there at the State Department, many of them still have Obama's picture in their cubicle. Why aren't they being charged with Hatch Act violations? It shows you who owns the State Department. But let's go forward now to another aspect of the Smollett case. And Smollett case is really what I want to call it. Introduce somebody named Kim Fox, F-O-X-X, and this is in the news as of this morning. This is stunning and shocking. I'm having flashbacks. I think I'm getting PTSD because of the similarity of the Stacey Lynn case here. This is just unbelievable. But see, this is the pattern these people follow. This is who they are. This is how they carry out their perverted sense of justice. You're not going to believe what's been discovered about Kim Fox, Jussie Smollett, and this whole dirty deal with the fake hate crime. Fasten your seatbelt, ladies and gentlemen, because here we go. There's a prosecutor that was put in charge of going after Jussie Smollett for 16 felony charges. This is unbelievable. As it turns out, this prosecutor named Kim Fox is a puppet of George Soros. This was first exposed by Ann Coulter, and congratulations, Ann, for coming out with this. I think this is a really good piece of research journalism. And I'm going to put this in here because of it. This is the pattern they follow. How do they get people convicted? How do people lose their children? How do people escape prosecution for felonies? You got to fix the fixers. From Julie Koontz Field to Monica Wesolowski's judge on part two of stealing their young son to this case of getting Jussie Smollett off. This woman, Kim Fox, has dropped all 16 charges, saying he's already served community service. It's okay. That's her excuse for letting this man get away with faking a hate crime. 16 felonies, lying to the police. What is she saying? He served community service? Well, the community he was serving was the New World Order, and the fact that they wanted to build a case that they needed to have race riots to get racial equality because of hate crimes like this. This is unbelievable. But anyway, Kim Fox has dropped the charges. So let's take a look at what's motivating her behind the scenes, according to Ann Coulter. Kim Fox is receiving money from George Soros. She has a fund. She oversees a super PAC called the Illinois Safety and Justice. Kim Fox has received multiple donations from George Soros. And the last one was worth $300,000. Now, ask yourself, and by the way, this is airtight. I've clicked all the links. I've gone to all the sites. I've done the research. Ann Coulter has this nailed. There is absolutely no escaping this. Of course, you'll never see this on your nightly news. So what are we going to look at here? What's really going on? And why are they doing this with Jussie Smollett? Why are they fixing the fixer? They didn't have to fix the judge this time as they did with Stacy. They fixed the prosecutor. How did they do it? Why would they do it? Well, let's imagine that Jussie Smollett goes on trial. This reminds me of Lee Harvey Oswald. You ever wondered why when Oswald was arrested, and first of all, the evidence shows he never killed anybody in that day, never fired a gun, and that's another story for another time. But they're moving Oswald from one jail to another. That allowed the assassination of Jack Ruby to take place. Jack Ruby was a known mafioso to the Dallas police. How the hell did he get in the Dallas police garage? Well, they had to kill Lee Oswald because they couldn't have him getting on the stand telling what he knew. Because he was connected to a lot of the people who killed Kennedy. They worked closely together. They didn't want this out there. So they had to kill Oswald so dead men tell no tales. Well, you can't really kill Jussie Smollett for this. It would raise too many eyebrows. So what you got to do is fix the fixer. He can't go on trial. Self-preservation would take over. And Jussie Smollett would begin to sing. Sing like a canary. See, Kim Fox would have been obligated to sit down with him and say, okay, we'll let you plead to the lesser included offenses. You're going to do this much jail time. You're going to pay this kind of a fine. And this will be your probation when you're done. That's typical how those cases are handled. Well, they couldn't get to that because, see, he would have had to offer something up to get a plea deal. What could he have possibly offered up? That George Soros was behind this crime? That Kamala Harris is related to Jussie Smollett? How deep does this web go? How far down the rabbit hole do we have to climb till we see major players? And I think what we're looking at here is I'm going to begin to dig, and others I know are going to dig to. And I think what we're going to find here is this is very much like the Steele dossier that has implicated Obama and Clinton in spying, illegally spying, and using the federal government to do it on candidate Trump as he was running against Hillary Clinton. I think we're going to get that level of corruption. I think we're going to reach that high. And would I be surprised to find that Obama and Clinton are involved? No, I don't have any evidence of that. I believe Kamala Harris was involved, and I believe she should be a person of interest. And she's a presidential candidate. How high is that, folks? But here we have a clear link between Smollett, the prosecutor, and George Soros. George Soros is public enemy number one to every constitutional loving American. And he is giving payoffs to Kim Fox. How deep does this rabbit hole go? How did she get the case? Well, it's the same deal as we saw in Larimer County. You bring in Judge Julie Coons Fields. Her first case is Stacy Lynn to steal her kid and shut her up about Agenda 21. It's the same pattern. It was the same pattern with Monica Wesolowski. And we're seeing, to me, I'm absolutely stunned that on the periphery, I'm so close to so many elements of this case from my past dealings. I'm absolutely stunned by it. And this is why I've been able to be a little bit ahead of the curve on the reporting. What you're hearing here, some of it's public, but I'm not hearing anyone connect dots. But what I'm telling all of you out there is when you see cases like this, you should now be sensitive to the facts that they're going to fact that they're going to fix the fixer, whether it be to bring in a judge from the who's globalist, or they're going to fix the prosecutor with payoffs. This is the America we live in now. This is the new mafia. That's right. Kim Fox, in my opinion, she's mafia. This is organized crime. This is racketeering. This is RICO. And if we had a government with who had a Justice Department that was worth a damn, this would be investigated right now. And I'm telling you, it's Steele dossier deep. Tell me what you think. This will air everywhere. This will be on the radio show, the Common Sense Show. This will be on Megaphone. This will also be on several publications. I'm launching a full-scale written investigation of this, these situations and linking these links as well, too. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at how cases get fixed. This is really nothing new, but we're finding positive links now. I'm sure there are more out there, and I'm imploring those of you who share my research interests in the independent media that you're going to do your own independent research, and you're going to come forward, and you're going to find that the facts I'm putting forth here, one, are substantiated, and number two, the facts that this is how the globalists do business to keep theirs out of jail, or they kill them like they did Lee Oswald, or McDougal. Oh, who is McDougal? Oh, he had the goods on the Clintons in Whitewater, and he goes into prison, solitary confinement, but he's supposed to testify later, and he dies of a heart attack in solitary confinement, kind of like Whitey Bulger. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting how all these dots somehow magically connect? I want to thank you for listening here to this. I'm Dave Hodges. We'll be back with more on The Common Sense Show. I get quite a bit of email and communications from people who are really new to the resistance of the attempted coup against our culture, our government, our way of life, our elected officials who actually do believe they should be serving the Constitution. And they tell me, Dave, I'm beginning to see what you're talking about, but I feel powerless in doing anything. And I wanted to prepare a response generally to a lot of the concerns I get expressed to me on a daily basis. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We're the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And we're brought to you by Stem Up. Now, this is going to sound like a gimmick if you're not familiar with stem cells, but George Bush tried to absolutely ban this on behalf of Big Pharma. He was Big Pharma's best friend. They don't want you to take care of your life on your own. Here's what you need to know about stem cells. You need to go to stemup.com/now and read the NIH, that's the National Institute of Health, research on this, and they will tell you stem cells are equated with longevity, and now you can get your supply of stem cells in pill form. Again, the link is in the description box, stemup.com/now. You need to check this out because Big Pharma is having a fit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I really think that when we take a look at what the average person is to do, number one, and I've come up with an action plan, number one is you have to educate yourself. That's number one. And you need to go to a variety of sources to do so. If I may recommend a few, Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman, Mike Adams, Paul Preston, Paul Martin, Ted Brewer. These are some of the people that you need to visit on a regular basis. And I'd also add in Lisa Haven. There's a lot of people out there that are doing really good work telling the truth as best as they can instead of lying through their faces at you on TV. That's number one. Number two, you need to begin to spread the word. Now, who you spread the word to needs to start with baby steps. You sit down at the dinner table and you start spewing out everything you know, you're going to be about four steps above everybody at that table. You need to go to the people who are most friendly to you in your family, in your acquaintance circle, maybe even some of your co-employees, although be careful, because if you go to the wrong person, you're going to be branded as a nut at work. And you need to approach people who are friendly, who will listen to you, take you seriously, and people who are intelligent enough to even go look it up. And that's what you say to them. Please, look it up. Research it. Mainstream media lying, independent media telling you the truth. Look it up. So that's what you do. You start with a friendly baby steps, get some people behind you on your side, and you get used to advocating your point of view, which I'm assuming if you're here, it's probably pro-Christian, it's definitely pro-conservative, and it's absolutely pro-Constitution. So that's your second step. Your third step is to make your voice heard. So once you get the practice here with people in your local environment who will be friendly to you, now you need to reach out to the politicians. You need to get involved in group movements. You need to make your voice heard in the mainstream media. See, a lot of people say, we should just totally ignore the mainstream media. For the most part, I agree with that. But there are times when you need to get in the mainstream media to see what lies they're telling so you can counter them. Remember, Jesus took on the bankers in the temple, right? So he went where the bad guys were, and sometimes we have to venture there once in a while, too, to find out what they're up to, and then we counter it. Those are three steps you can take immediately. The other thing that you need to be doing is you need to prepare to be outside the system. And I think the Bible warns of this both directly and indirectly when it says, you know, you're in the world, but don't be of the world. Well, I think those are really words to live by, because if you rely on the world to supply your needs, particularly your government, FEMA, you could be in a lot of trouble. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, tools. This is what you need. This is absolutely what you need to be independent of the bad guys who are coming after us, who will do things like use food and water as a weapon. They want to disarm you so you can't protect yourself with your fellow neighbors. They want to take away your rights so they can enslave you or exterminate you. And if that sounds extreme, if you're new to this movement, all I would say is refer to many of the quotes about depopulation from particularly UN officials associated with Agenda 21, now called Agenda 2030. Look it up. You can use search engines to find these quotes. They don't hide it. You just need to go look for it. And they tell you they want to reduce the population by 90%. And I'll paraphrase here a little bit, by any means necessary. So you need to take this extremely seriously and realize you're not just fighting for your culture and your way of life, which we are. It's being turned upside down right before our eyes. Did you ever think you'd see the things you're seeing now? Of course not. But you're also fighting for your life. There's a reason why there's FEMA camps. You have to remember a guy named Bill Ayers. Do you remember that guy? You've heard me talk about this on the show if you have been around for a while. If you're new, listen up. Bill Ayers was once the head of the Weathermen Underground, a radical communist group made up of Ivy League people who had mostly master's degrees, but they were dedicated to communism, and they came from well-to-do families. These weren't your hippie protest movements of the late 60s. They wanted to overthrow the Constitution and replace it with communists. Well, okay, Bill Ayers had a very checkered past. Criminal, associated with the murder of a San Francisco police officer. His wife did prison time, Bernadine Dorn. They're both defrocked lawyers. They teach at universities. Boy, what does that say about universities, right? They're not too particular about who they bring in. But also, the Ayers family launched the political career of Barack Hussein Obama. And Bill Ayers was outed by former FBI special agent Larry Grathwall, who I interviewed a number of times on my show. And what Larry said was very, very revealing. He said, point blank, that Bill Ayers once told him, when he asked him what he would do if they ever took over the country, the communists, that is, he said, well, we'll have to put 50 million Americans in re-education camps and do away with, meaning murder, over half of them. So when I tell you you're fighting for your life, do you think I'm kidding? Bill Ayers was a frequent visitor to the White House during Obama's 8 years. He's still prominent today. I saw him a couple months ago on C-SPAN. Why anyone with any integrity in the media would ever entertain this man is beyond me. He's a despicable, murderous thug. But it tells you the influence that this movement has on America, and it tells you how hard people from a communist bent are intent on taking us down. And then you've heard me talk about the 80 people identified in Congress a few years ago by Trevor Loudon, who said they were members, front groups of the Communist Party or the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the world's biggest terrorist organization. And this was confirmed by former Congresswoman, six-term Cynthia McKinney, and Alan West, former congressman. ladies and gentlemen, I could keep talking here to talk about this movement is real. So do you need to get involved when you ask? Yeah, and I think some of you sense some urgency who are new to the movement. But what if someone was putting a gun to your head? Would you feel a little more urgent then? The gun has already been pointed, metaphorically speaking, and before long and before it gets to where it's a real gun pointed at your head, perhaps we all should get our you-know-whats off the couch and follow this plan. Again, what's the plan? Educate yourself by going to the sources I mentioned earlier, okay, and then approach your most favorable people, who most favorable audience, who are actually going to listen to you and give you the time of day without chastising you. Well, they might challenge you and ask some questions, but they're people that you got to choose in baby step fashion that will somewhat agree with you. And then you need to become politically active, join groups, make your voice heard. This is what you need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, the choice is up to you. So again, we ask the question, what's an average person to do? I gave you a prescription for preserving your culture and way of life, but more importantly, we're talking about the future of your children. We're talking your future grandchildren, or will you even have any given what's going on? And with the wars that they're trying to perpetrate around the planet, they being the bankers who make money on wars, you know the old saying, all wars are banker wars. Your kids could get drafted. Relatives could get drafted. Your friends' children could get drafted and sent off to die in a war they had no choice to fight in, they have no desire to fight in, but they'll show up at your door and arrest you or even kill you if you'd violate the draft. This is ultimately what you are fighting for. America is at a crossroads, and so are its people. We are only a nation as we have come to understand a nation in this country if the Constitution remains intact. We are opposed publicly in Congress by people like Pelosi, Schumer, and the rest, most of them Democratic Party. There are some Republican turncoats, but they are intent on turning this country upside down. Why? Because they're beholden to the interests behind it. They're held hostage by ransoms, by blackmail, and by outright bribery. And we identify that here on the Common Sense Show with voluminous proof. Voluminous! If you're new to this, let me give you one fact. Did you know on the Common Sense Show, three times I've published two documents? And we know that Robert Mueller, we don't know the contents of his recently released report, but we know he went after Trump for alleged Russian collusion, delusion, as I like to call it. Bunch of nonsense. You want to know what the Russian collusion was? It's called Uranium One, where Hillary Clinton stole uranium from people like the Bundys and sent it to Russia. And here's where Mueller comes in. Documented with a Russian source called the Rosatom Memo and with a State Department memo that validates that he was on the tarmac and gave the first highly enriched uranium to the Russians on behalf of the Clinton Foundation. And that money, in part, was turned around and used for her to run for president. Totally illegal. Totally treason. We executed the Rosenbergs in the 50s for far less than what the Clintons and what Robert Mueller did. What they did was a capital crime. And it's not even denied. Hell, you know how I found out about the Uranium One deal? The New York Times published the first part of it. Now, they didn't get into the depth of the corruption that existed, but they got into enough of it, I could see this was illegal. And I said, let me turn this upside down. And it's amazing when you dive into things, how many things are publicly available. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an issue in this country, and that's saving the country. And the other issue is saving our lives. So again, I'll come back for the final time and say, what's an average person to do? I think I've laid it out pretty clearly. Good luck to the rest of us who don't. For those of us who fight the good fight, pray for guidance, pray for peaceful solutions, because there is a spiritual answer to every physical problem. But sometimes it's going to come down to good old-fashioned fighting, not because Dave Hodges wants it to. I don't. But that's what history teaches us, and you have to be prepared. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, tools. Those are your essentials. There's more. You need allies and all kinds of other things, board games to, you know, entertain the kids. But this is where you need to start, and I'm encouraging you to start now. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Please share this on your social media. Please make this go far and wide, because maybe there'll be a couple rookies, some novices, people new to the movement, who are saying, you know what, I don't know if I agree with Dave, but I'm going to see if I can at least tell part of the story that I do agree with, and I'll use this three-step approach. We can do a lot of good here. We'll see you back here again next time. Thank you so much for joining us. We love and appreciate all of you. Good evening, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and this is our third attempt at communicating with Paul Martin, who's coming to us with breaking news, and we can't always say we're being sabotaged. Sometimes we have bad connections, but as I said, third attempt. We're the show here at the Common Sense Show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and there are two sponsors that make this segment possible. One is our storable food company, preparewithdave.com is how we refer to it, 70% off, restaurant quality, and you can't afford to be without it with all that's going on and all that's coming your way. Go to preparewithdave.com. We're also brought to you by Ready Made Resources and my good friend Bob Griswold. Anything you need in prepping, Bob has it, whether it's communications, water filtration, night vision. He'll finance it all, and he'll consult with you for free. Go to readymaderesources.com, and then look at the great products he has available, and then call him. The number's on screen. He'll consult with you for free, and that doesn't happen in this industry. readymaderesources.com and preparewithdave.com. Well, Paul Martin is on the line with us, and I want to preface our interview here by saying I recently published a story about Russians in the Sierra Madre. They've reached an agreement with Mexico, and I've had this confirmed through multiple sources after I first ran with the story. And they're in the state of Sinaloa with the Sinaloans, which means ISIS, which means all the bad terrorists that we know that are associated with them, like MS-13. And they also have Chinese there. Steve Quayle, for example, has been reporting on this for years about the Chinese and the Sinaloas. It's a red dawn, folks. And we're going to get into the possibility of what's going on perhaps later in this interview, or I'll do it in another broadcast. But Paul's on the line with me because there was something just flat bizarre about what happened in his store tonight in Wellington, Colorado. Paul, go ahead and tell the audience what happened.
Yeah.
Paul, you need to, yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. Reorient, please.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the kind of the night manager for a liquor store, and two guys, Chinese guys, walked in right before close at 10 o'clock, and one was very military-looking, military posture, short haircut. The other guy was about 6 foot, 6 foot one, beetle haircut. Looked like a professor or scholar or something. But they were so excited. They didn't speak very good English, but they wanted an IPA beer. And so I got him a beer, and the professor wanted a Budweiser. So I got him a Budweiser, and they were so excited. And then we got a snack tray bar kind of deal by the registers with chips and all that kind of stuff, and they were so excited to see the chips, and they were loading up on Doritos and Cheetos and all this other stuff, and they were just so excited. It's like these guys just landed, Dave.
I'm flabbergasted. I know we've had Russians in your area. I know we've had commandos from foreign countries in your area. It's a hotbed of activity in northern Colorado, always has been. But the Chinese, what the hell are they doing there?
I don't have any idea. Like I said, the one guy was very, very, very military posture. He checked out first, and we checked out the professor guy later, but the military guy was sitting there with his sack of goodies, very straight posture, hand on his left hip. And but what was so bizarre is they were just so excited to see all that stuff. These guys just had to land somewhere locally.
I'm just flabbergasted. You've had experience with Russians in your area too, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they shoot at my range.
Still, to this day?
Yeah. Yeah, they're somewhere east of here. I can't find out where, but they still shoot at the range. They're still spotted at the sporting goods stores. They're still spotted at the big Walmart between Fort Collins and Loveland. And oh yeah, we could do another.
Paul, you're breaking up again. Hello, Paul. Paul, we may have lost him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think you heard the crux of the report there from Paul. You were no doubt listening to the broadcast I had with Paul Martin, and you could hear our volumes fluctuating and everything was showing stable on our end. In retrospect, I don't know if someone was on to us or what, but things just went haywire in ways that we don't typically see. And then he just disappeared, and I can't get him back on the line. But you heard here the account. He's had Russians that shoot at his shooting range. He has people that coming into his liquor store, Chinese soldiers. And what's going on? And we talked about the Russians in the Sierra Madres. There's clearly something afoot. We're beginning to collect the dots and put them together in some understandable fashion. And no doubt that this story is getting legs. After I first ran Russians in the Sierra Madre yesterday morning, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, my email has blown up, and I'm hearing from people in the independent media. I'm hearing from top military sources who've been contacts of mine in the past. And they want to know more, or they're confirming what I already know. This is absolutely insane, and I'm kind of putting this out as a clarion call. We're looking for whistleblowers to come forward, because I believe, and we have formed a working hypothesis now, Trump isn't talking about shutting down the border, as he intimated yesterday that he might do that. He's not doing it because of immigrants. He's doing it because he's afraid of invasion. And clearly there'll be a precipitating set of incidences here. Either we'll attack Venezuela and then Russia will attack us on our southern border. That, to me, is the most likely scenario. But also, the Oroville Dam is back in play, and we're going to talk about that as well in another broadcast, but there's a lot of destabilizing things coming our way. And I have to tell you, if you're not prepped, you're going to be sorry, because there's going to be no getting out of the conflict that's coming. And I don't see any way that we're going to avoid war. I wished we could, but the signs are all lining up, and it's coming very, very quickly. They say sometimes the path to war is slow, but the beginning of the war is quick. And I think we're about ready to find out the meaning of that particular saying. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry that we lost Paul, but we got the crux of his message. We'll see you back here again next time.